hello, and welcome back to the Chi State Pod. Sam Brief, so happy to be with you. I'm here in Chicago and getting set for the heat of this winter season, which, as a lot of you know, it's always highlighted by hoops. And I've been happy to have a couple hoopers on the last few episodes of the Chi State Pod. Most recently, Brandon Benson, who has since exploded for the Chicago State men's basketball team. I mean, exploded. The dude won WAC Player of the Week, leading the team and one of the top scorers in the conference. So, you know, the Madden curse, things like that, Sports Illustrated cover curse. Well, I think we have the opposite here. You have someone on the Chi State Pod, and then bam, they become a Player of the Week. So, congrats to Brandon, an alum of the pod. And now I'm happy to turn the table off the court a little bit, at least off the basketball court, onto the tennis court, to the new associate head coach for Chicago State's women's and men's tennis teams, and that is the wonderful Ade Osaboyhen. Ade was hired by head coach Jack Barton in mid-November, and she's been rocking and rolling, getting right into it, working mostly with our women's tennis team and focusing a lot right now during the off-season when it's really cold and we can't play tennis outside, on recruiting. So she's on the recruiting trail, and she comes with tons of tennis experience, from being a former top 10 junior player to then going and playing at the Division I level, both at Stony Brook and Northern Illinois University. She then went on to play pro a little bit, and also representing one of her homelands of Nigeria. She was born here in the Chicagoland area, went to Homewood Flossmoor High School, but her dad's from Nigeria, and she really holds her Nigerian heritage very, very near and dear to her heart. So we dive into that. We dive into tennis, the mental side of coaching, recruiting, how she's going to push her student athletes, and her goals in working with head men's and women's tennis coach Jack Barton. So we got Ade coming up soon, but first, our partners at BSN Sports, the largest provider of team sports equipment and apparel in the country, would like to thank all of the coaches out there who truly are the heart of the game. While BSN Sports is the best at equipping athletes, coaches are the best at equipping lives, and that's the real final score. So learn more about how BSN Sports can save you time off the field by giving you more time to impact lives on it. Just call your local BSN Sports sales pro or visit bsnsports.com today. And without further ado, it's Ade Osaboyhen.
I'm so happy to be here. You know, I'm excited to see what it's like to be a Cougar.
Well, you've already gotten a little taste of what it's like. You've been here a few weeks. Your office is just a couple doors down from mine. Tell me what your initial impressions are of what it is to be a Cougar, Ade.
Well, first, I didn't know I was going to get an office, which is a plus, but to be,
that's a, you know, huge win. That's like a, let's pause there for a second. That's a day one win when you walk in and your office situation is better than imagined. That's like, you don't even have to know anything else. That's one win in your pocket. So there you go.
Yeah, it is. especially as associate coach, it's a very, very, it's a good thing. It's a plus, a bonus that I was not expecting.
So what else? What about the non-office stuff?
Yeah, so you know, I got the chance to meet the girls and the guys, and you know, it's a very melting pot of different kids from all over, and I got to know the girls a little better, and they seem like they're really, really excited that I'm here, and it makes me just, I don't know what's another word than exciting. I guess thrilled to say I get the opportunity to try to take some D1 girls to try to get a conference championship and hopefully get to NCAAs and also help them outside of tennis. You know, it's a great honor where I get the chance to give back, and it's still in my community. So I'm really happy about that. And then being at a D1 university in general, that is something that's, you know, it doesn't come by easily. It doesn't come by often. So That is an honor that I'm also very thankful for.
Every coach defines the role of coaching differently. And you already alluded to tennis and helping off the court. How do you sort of see your role as an associate head coach with the tennis teams. What's that mean to you?
Well, technically, Jackie's given me basically a full go all over the women's team. So I will basically have the first say, and the Jackie will approve of some of the most of the says, but I get to go by how I want the team to roll. And I think that's, for me, you know, when it comes to recruiting process, it has to be, I want to get to know the players first, because having an understanding of who someone is important to figure out, you know, this might be the better route for them or a totally different direction, you know, without specifying what I'm talking about. But getting to understand who a person is, I think that is the most, you know, beneficial ways of coaching to try to get a player to become a better person, is by understanding who they are first.
I saw you day one. It wasn't day one for you. It was day one of me knowing you, though. And you had the women's tennis team in a line of chairs on the basketball court at the Jones Convocation Center. And you were doing what looked to me from a distance like some sort of meditation work. And I was super interested. We talked very briefly by the microwave right after that. But can you expand on what you were doing that day?
Sure. So that was actually chair yoga. I'm a sort of certified yoga teacher as well. And I was demonstrating, you know, a few mindful visualizations mm-hmm. for basically getting in the zone, getting their mindset straight, and working on the physical body, because I'm also a firm believer in having the mind and body work in one instead of just physical. And then, you know, if your mind is not right, you're going to get burnt out, basically. So that part, I'm really incorporating a lot of stretching, a lot of mental workouts where they visualize what they want to be, whether it comes to tennis or even comes to, you know, after tennis. That's what that is about.
I'm super into the mental side of it. And one of my favorite books, I already recommended it to you, is Inner Game of Tennis, which I know Coach Barton, or Jackie, sorry, is a big fan of. What did you learn? And I want to dig into your tennis career too, but what did you learn, or are you learning, about the tie between the mind and the body when it comes to being a student athlete?
Okay, well, I can go on about that for a minute.
Go on. That's what we're here for.
Well, in the beginning of my childhood, you know, tennis was something I did for fun in the beginning. And, you know, my mom, it's not like I didn't have a choice, but she always pushed it because she also played tennis. And she knew that, you know, college is very expensive and tennis is the number one sport for a female to get a tennis scholarship and to become a high paying athlete. Tennis is the number one out of all sports. And she knew that, you know, growing up, I would just play a lot and everything. But there was a time when I was at a peak. I was like at 15 or 16 years old, and I got to like number one in the country. And I didn't really look at it a big deal at the time. You know, I just thought it was something that's normal as a kid. But
to be number one in the country, normal.
Or even top 10. Yeah. It was like, whoa. My mom, she tried to push me to try to go pro, but I didn't see it that way. You know, I was a high school public kid, and I wanted to have my Fridays and Saturdays to go hang out with my friends. And then a few years later, you know, I'm still playing tennis. And after college, I'm like, wait a minute, the college is almost over. I don't want to give this sport up. I love this sport too much. I still have fun with it. And that's when I fully started to say, I want to 100% believe in myself and keep playing after college. So for me, when it came to confidence, I don't think I had the best confidence as a kid. You know, I knew I could do well, but I didn't believe I could be unstoppable or try to get to, you know, more than what I believed I could. But now it was like believing in myself has been what got me here today. So I want to thank myself for not giving up for that part. And I forgot the end of the other question you said.
Well, you said so much that intrigued me. whatever I asked is a moot point by now. I'm really curious to hear that concept of confidence, because it's really hard, I think, for a lot of student athletes. Like, think about, you know, a freshman you're going to coach at Chicago State might come in, and because they're just a freshman, might be 18 years old going up against D1 competition, might lose a bunch at first. Confidence might start high and go low, might start low and go lower, right? So how do you define confidence?
Well, it's similar to faith. You know, you gotta have belief where you don't need to see it. You need to feel it inside of you. Belief isn't something you can touch, isn't something that's gonna even be there on your worst days. You gotta find a way to make it be there no matter how you're feeling. You know, it's about getting up every time you fall down. You know, I feel like that's the whole thing about life, is that obstacles come so we can get stronger. If everything was so easy, nobody would be challenged. Everything would just be boring, in my opinion, if there's no challenges. But I just think it comes from inside. It comes from, no matter if someone's telling you something negative, if someone is reflecting how they feel about themselves to you, you don't want to take any of that in. You know, you want to set up your boundaries. If someone is not a good vibe for you, where you feel mentally they're bringing you down, you got to get them out of your life if you can. You know, I think it's really important to find a way to never give up. Like, don't stop believing. Like, just don't stop believing.
It's already striking me today that the student athletes that you're working with are lucky to have you, because, you know, that's what you need in a coach. Coaching is about so much more than just, hey, this is how you should hit a backhand. You know, you could tell someone a million times. I still don't know how to hit a backhand. I'm an idiot, by the way. But that's really fascinating to me. I'm curious too, how you, and listen, I might be asking this and getting way ahead of your plan. But how do you plan on tying that into your coaching once you're in season?
Right. So I have a big philosophy, you know, and most coaches, I think it's right outside my office, it says 110% effort, right? In the hallway. That, what that meaning is, like, get 1% better each day. If you feel like you could have did better, then you didn't try your best. If you try your best, there's nothing else a coach can complain about. You know, if your game is not on that day, your game's just not on that day. Not even Kobe, not even Serena, they can't play their best every single time. It's not ideal. So if your effort is there, that's all I really, really care about. Like, I can't complain. I have nothing to complain about, because you tried your best, you know? You kept going.
Yep, that's the valuable part. You got to go. You got to line it up, right?
Yeah. But make sure you got gas in your tank. Make sure you're taking care of yourself, because if you try to keep going, there's no gas, what's going to happen? You can't go anywhere.
Diving a little bit into your tennis career, did you have a point where you ran out of gas?
I wouldn't say ran out of gas, but I think I was close, is when I had an injury. I had a patella tendonitis injury on my left knee. That really, mentally, it was really hard at that time, but I found a way to basically do my rehab, see who I need to see, eat better, you know, do more stretching. And that's even why I got into yoga, is like, I want to be able to prevent stuff like this more often. And tennis is also a lifetime sport. So I said to myself, you know, if I'm taking care of the small things, it'll be easier to not let the big things negative big things happen to me.
You've clearly learned a lot. As you alluded to, you're a former top tennis player at Homewood Flossmoor High School. So you, like me, are a Chicago suburban kid. You go on to Stony Brook, then Northern Illinois. I'm curious, today in your college career, we're talking Stony Brook and IU, pick, it's impossible in any format to encapsulate all those years of your life. I want you to, if you could, pick one moment that stands out very much to you about college a day.
Well, when I won Coach's Award my freshman year at Stony Brook. Coach's Award, that was something that was special to me because there was, you know, two coaches and they both dealt with the men's and women's tennis team. And I didn't play number one. I didn't play number six. I was like in the middle of the lineup, and we always had this this buddy system. I don't know if you ever heard of it, like in the Army, where, you know, if your buddy does this, you're basically doing it. If you get in trouble, your buddy gets in trouble as well. So I found it was a way of holding each other accountable. And I held a lot of my teammates accountable as a freshman. And it helped us win that conference championship to make NCAAs that year and play Texas A&M. And that was one of the greatest experiences I ever had. And then the next year we played Stanford. That was really cool too.
Tell me about being in the NCAAs. I love the buddy system, by the way.
Yeah. I got to talk about that one too. But being at NCAAs, oh man, not even though it was first round, you know, I had my family members drive and some flew all to come. And, you know, just having that energy of making tennis a non-individual moment to say, let's bring it all in together to see if we can, underdogs can come out on top. It was just exciting. It was like we had nothing to lose. They're the ones that have something to lose. They're the top 10 seeds. So we going out swinging. You know, that's how that mindset was. None of my teammates, we weren't like, it wasn't like we were super nervous or scared. We were like, hey, we're here. Let's have fun and let's make these girls make these girls remember us.
What do you remember most about it? Like, I'm thinking off the court, you know, the glitz and the glamour of being in a tournament like that.
Off the court, I guess. Well, I mean, I can't really say too much because I actually had some junior experiences that were pretty, like, on the same level. You know, right. There was one tournament in Palm Springs, Indian Wells in California. That was the most beautiful place in US I've ever been to. And that was one of the best tournaments I've ever been to. But when it comes to NCAAs, I think the overall experience of, you know, just enjoying my teammates and being on the court, I think more on the court was probably more fun than off the court, but that's what I can say about that.
Ade, what was your favorite moment as a junior? You're alluding to your top junior career, so I'm really curious about the experiences you had.
So there was a girls 18 and under tournament level, about level one or two, like toughest levels. And there was one, my doubles partner, her name was Brooke Austin. We were both the youngest girls in the tournament. We're 15 and we're playing in the 18s. And, you know, my mom expected me to be out the first day, you know, go home the next day. But the first round, I played this girl that was like 6-2 and she ended up going to Harvard. I beat her. No, sorry. I lost the first set like 6-0 or 6-1. And then I came back and won. I don't remember how, but I shocked everyone. And then at the end of that tournament, I ended up getting third place. I was beating all these top girls that were going to like Texas A&M, Oklahoma. Like, it was just an underdog dream. That tournament, that was one of the best tournaments I ever had. And then that was also the first time my dad really saw me play, and he was so surprised because he just wants me to go to school and get academics together. But that was also a really, really important moment when my dad said, wow, I didn't know my daughter was this good.
And that must have been fun for you to be like, hey, this is who I am on the tennis court.
Yeah, like, yeah, dad, told you.
Could you tell me a bit about your family?
Oh, sure. So my dad is a full Nigerian man. He was born in Nigeria. This tribe name is Edo. 90% of my diet is my traditional food. And then my mom was born in Chicago. Her, you know, she's African-American. Her family originates before, you know, slavery and stuff, like Mississippi area. And I also have two younger sisters. One of them went to FAMU and another went to Xavier in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I also have a teacup Chihuahua who is also my best friend.
Okay, well, the teacup Chihuahua is probably the only one that when I see you tomorrow, I'm going to ask for a picture of.
Oh, my Chihuahua?
Yeah. So get ready for that.
Okay. And then I'm also a new aunt. I have a 4-year-old nephew or 4-month-old nephew.
Okay. Oh, congratulations. I might ask for a picture too of the nephew.
Yeah.
What role does your Nigerian heritage play in your day-to-day life?
Oh, well, you know, I grew up, I had to greet my dad in his language every day. You know, if you don't, it's a big deal. You know, you kind of get in trouble for that. And mainly, the first time I went, I was about 15, 16 years old. I went to my grandmother's burial, and I experienced the culture there, and I understood the differences of America and Nigeria. Like, for example, it's forbidden to give money with your left hand. If you give someone money with your left hand, they won't accept it. They'll look at you like you're crazy. Well, not to get too, you know, nasty, but that's the hand they use to clean themselves.
I gotcha.
Yeah. But and also, you know, they're very big on respecting your elders. You know, you get disciplined very, very strictly if you disrespect anyone that's older than you, no matter what they said. You know, it's they're very big on respecting your elders. And the food, it's very fresh. You know, it's mainly seeds, it's mainly fiber stuff. And a lot of vegetables, nothing that's like super fried. They don't really eat pork that much. But yeah, Nigeria, and being Nigerian, I'm also a dual citizen. So I get to go there and I have my second home there as well. And then I get to represent Nigeria for Billie Jean Cup and for the World Cup Billie Jean tennis team.
Have you done that before, or is that something on the horizon? Yeah.
So actually, Nigeria has never played before, and this summer was the first time we played, and it was in Lithuania, Vilnius, Lithuania.
And I'm going to butt in here, and I'm sorry for that, but we touched on this the first day we met, and this is a great day, Sam, crossover. Vilnius, Lithuania is where my dad's family is from.
Yes. Yes,
and you were representing the land of your ancestors at the land of mine.
Yes, and actually, I actually played Lithuania the first round, and we almost beat them. I lost my match. It was so close. It was so close. Like, I kind of was so sad when I lost it, but we definitely gave them a memory to say, "Do not take Nigeria lightly." So it was a great experience. On there.
What did it feel like to represent Nigeria, you know, in the lead up to the match, putting on a shirt that says Stony Brook or Northern Illinois, Nigeria must hit different, right?
It does. It really does, because Nigeria, you know, it has certain stereotypes that if I have more power, I would love to change, because from my experience, I don't agree with those stereotypes. You know, I'm engaged to a Nigerian man, and he's also a professional tennis player. And, you know, I think being a Nigerian, it's the richest country in Africa. It has the most money out of all the countries in Africa, but it's also very corrupt at the same time. And, you know, I think that representing Nigeria still is like letting you know, the other people see that, hey, tennis can do something for your country and for the young girls that are looking to find something to focus on. Tennis can be that sport for them.
When did you meet your husband?
2008. Well, we have, I'm engaged. Sorry.
Or your fiance, soon to be husband.
Yeah. 2018 October, actually, at a tournament in Lagos, Nigeria.
I was gonna say, when you said he's a tennis player too, and
yeah,
I met where you met. Like, there's a 90% chance she'll say tennis tournament.
Yeah.
Then you also hit on the food, and you mentioned that 90% of what you eat now is of that Nigerian ancestral diet. So could you just take me through like an average day of what you might eat?
Sure. So something that's kind of easy to make is something called stew. It's based with tomatoes and bell peppers, red bell peppers, and onions. And, you know, you can choose your meat. I like smoked turkey and chicken. I don't really like beef and goat, but they also use that in the dishes. And it tastes, let me see, something that's similar that might be American. Something similar would be, you ever had Spanish rice?
Yes.
Red Spanish?
And I love it.
So it's a little, it's a little spicier, similar to that, but it's like a little, the flavor is like five times a different level, but it's very similar. And that would be like a breakfast. You know, I'll eat that with plantains, fried plantains or roasted plantains. And then there's a soup called egusi soup. And it's like a melon tree. The seed comes from a melon tree. It's white. And that's a taste I can't explain, because there's nothing else in this world that tastes like it. So, but they add vegetables to it. They add spinach, they add kale. It's very, very healthy. It's a seed that comes from the ground, and it's one of the most popular dishes in Nigeria. And to remind you, or let you know, not remind you, that there's 35 different languages inside of Nigeria. And that soup, egusi, is used by all of the different states and tribes. So that was one of the dishes that's very, very popular. Maybe one day I can have my mom and cook something and you try it.
Yes. Okay. I don't have to ask anymore. Yeah. I was hoping you would offer, because I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that.
That's so interesting that out of the 35 different tribes, every single tribe eats it. You said goosey?
It's called A-G-U-S-S-I, agusi.
Agusi
soup, yeah.
Are there not many foods that every single tribe?
Oh, no, there's plenty. There's plenty. Okay. There's like probably over 40 different soups, but the most popular one that most commonly made is agusi soup.
Wow. That's fantastic. Well, I'm honored that you offered. If you come by with agusi, I will.
As long as you're not allergic to anything, like shellfish or anything.
I'm allergic to dairy.
Okay, same. I don't eat dairy.
Great. So then I can trust anything you give.
That's the other thing. Nigeria, they barely eat anything dairy. If they eat dairy, it's barely anything dairy.
Now you have my full trust.
Okay, that sounds good.
Ade, I'm curious. You know, we're going around so many different parts of your life, coaching and tennis and your family and the food you eat and your heritage. I'm curious what you hold most close, near and dear to you. Like what strikes you the most about your own identity as Ade?
I'm 27 now, and the last 4 years after college, I've been on a journey to try to figure that out, because I know I'm a tennis fanatic. You know, tennis, there's no other feeling that I get from tennis that excites me. Maybe going to, like, you know, an amusement park for the day, something that's similar. That type of excitement is what I have for tennis. So I know it's about having a passion for something I love. You know, whatever I love, I'm gonna be, like, deeply, insanely passionate about it. That's what I do know about myself. And I'm still trying to figure out the rest, but I know that I'm a passionate person when I really enjoy something. I'm passionate about it.
It's sort of the same philosophy that you have about your athletes, right? Is, hey, I just want you to give 110%. You strike me as the type of person who's always 110 with everything.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, that is true.
Ade, can you tell me what your number one goal is for the next, let's just say, 2 months of working with Jackie and the crew at Chicago State as we look forward here?
Number one is making sure my team dynamic, my team's, the mindset as a whole is together. You know, I don't really want this divided. Even though, you know, I just got here, I don't have that much time before season starts. I really want to make sure, you know, we're all on the same page when it comes to the women's team and my expectations of what I'm asking for them to do during a daily basis. So my number one goal to make sure is that, you know, we have an agreement that this is what we're going to strive for with the girls on the team.
And then the second thing, mind right. Yeah, you were saying?
Yeah. The mind is number one for me, is making sure, you know, the mind is accepting for what is coming and you're ready to work at it. And then second thing would be for me is to really step on the recruiting process and make sure I can bring in, you know, some top recruits, because we committed two girls. We had four spots open, so we committed two and two more to go. So that is really important for me to try to get the best players I can find as soon as possible, because that will help bring more players after that.
Cruton.
Yes.
You are Cruton. You're getting the mind right, the body right, the Cruton right. And frankly, Ade, it's been a joy to get to know you. Just a taste here, right? I mean, there is a lot to unpack with you. And I've no doubt that, you know, both through Chicago State and just the two of us, you know, in the office as colleagues, I really look forward to getting to know you, and also for seeing a picture of your chihuahua, your nephew, and trying your mother's agusi.
Yeah. Yes. The goosey soup.
Ade, thank you so much for hopping on the Shy State Pod today. Really means a lot.
All right, Sam. Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Back in the studio, a big thanks to Ade for coming on. I'm excited to have her at Chicago State. Her student athletes should be so excited to have her at Chicago State. She's a gem. Clearly is a fascinating personality, and I'm really excited to try the agusi. So stay tuned for more on the Shy State Pod. We got some exciting stuff coming up. And of course, make sure you're following us on social media at Shy State Cougars on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and stay up to date on everything we're doing with our championship era at Chicago State. So I've been your host and producer, Sam Brief. And for all of us, wishing you a hearty adios, and talk to you next time.